This is our fifth installment on the subject of divine providence. And we have been slowly journeying with this particular series, beginning to highlight some very important aspects about how we should view or receive a perspective of the way God provides for us. So we journeyed from Egypt through the wilderness, looking at the nation of Israel and the providence they received when they were in Egypt. Moses was the deliverer that God sent to bring them out of Egypt. He came with the message of salvation. That message was called the lamb that they had to slay on the 14th day. They had to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. So basically, Moses brought a message of salvation to the nation of Israel while they were in Egypt. That aligns with us, that while we were in the world, while we were in under an Egyptian system and under the bondage of Egypt, that we received the message of salvation. And then we cross the Red Sea, which is a picture of baptism in water. And then we go through a period of formation in the wilderness. This is where our heart is tested, our faith is tested. And remember, the generation that came out of Egypt all died in the wilderness because of a lack of faith and because they did not believe in the word, even though they experienced so many signs and wonders and the divine provision of God. So a lamb was provided for them to come out of Egypt, the pillar of fire, the pillar of light, or rather the cloud, a pillar of cloud, the water and all the bread from heaven, the manna, all was provided for them to get through their wilderness. But another generation was born in the wilderness. And last week we came to the place where they were about to cross over into the promised land. And in one of the previous sessions, I described for you what the promised land entails and how the promised land was a place of rest. It was the place that God had designated for the nation of Israel to come into. And so they were on the border of crossing over into the promised land. And this is where we stopped. And we said that there are certain requirements that will determine how divine provision gets altered in our mind. So most of the time, the divine provision that we are thinking of is based on our needs and the basic needs of life, which we covered in our first session. But divine provision is more than just about your basic needs. Divine provision is what God places deep within you. That means whatever you need, God has already provided. It is about learning how to tap into that provision to meet even those basic needs. And part of that is knowing that you are a son of God, that your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Remember, the word provision comes from the Latin word, and it simply means to see ahead. And this is where you get the word television from, to see. So God is able to see ahead for you, but you as the son of God has to develop that relationship with him, knowing that God knows what you need before you ask him. This is why you are born of the Spirit. God is Spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I want to go back to Joshua chapter 3, where we finished off last week, or rather started last week. And in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 3, as the nation is about to cross over, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Achaia Grove and came to the Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So firstly, I highlight to you that they were located in Achaia Grove, and Achaia Grove was in the plains of Moab. And while they were in this particular place, which was in the plains of Moab, you can read that in Numbers 25, you will find that they needed to shift out of this place, out of the location of Moab, and they had to come to the place called Jordan. And I highlighted quite extensively that shifting out of the place of Moab is to shift out of a place of an orphan spirit or a fatherless mentality, and how you need to see God as your father. Now remember, when Jesus came to the Jordan, it was declared, "This is my beloved son." So when you leave Moab and you come to Jordan, it is a transition in your mind and a transition in your spirit, where you are beginning to see God as your father. And as your father, he knows what you need before you ask him. I'm not going to repeat many of the things that I shared last week, because we have a bit to catch up with today. Now, the word Achaia Grove also means to carry. And I highlighted to you that you have to leave the place of carrying your own burdens, knowing that God is able to carry you. This is why we take his yoke. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he said to them, "I send you out as lambs among wolves." He's basically sending them into a very challenging time, challenging circumstance, or challenging environment, much like how the world is today, which has a very challenging environment. But when Jesus sent out his disciples in Luke 10, he clearly said to them that you should not carry certain things. So he said, "Do not carry a money bag." Now, all those things that he said, "Do not carry," which were literal in that context, but for us is has a more deeper meaning in terms of how we relate to life and how we relate to God as our Father. The money bag, firstly, which is what he said, "Do not carry," was reference to financial affairs. And today, we manage our money bag, our financial system, the way we administrate money is determined by certain worldly standards. But the kingdom of God also has standards for the management of our finances. So if we want to see divine provision, we have to be able to align ourselves with what we will call the kingdom value system regarding money. The second thing he said to them, "Do not carry a knapsack." And the knapsack in Jewish culture, because people walk long distances, they carry the extra change of clothes, they carried some provisions of food, etc. And the knapsack was just to carry the provisions for the journey, which would include food and clothing. Now, what Jesus was highlighting is that when you are one sent by the Lord, the provisions that God make for you will be sufficient in your journey. Remember, the change of clothing is now that we are clothed with the righteousness of God. So while Joseph was in Egypt, he was wearing Egyptian clothing, but inside of him, he was clothed with the Spirit of God. This is why the Bible says, Pharaoh said, "Where can we find one such as this in whom the Spirit of God is in?" So our clothing is to be clothed with the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the characteristics of the Spirit of God, some of which we are covering in our Tuesday Bible studies at the moment. So when we are clothed with that, our provisions change. Then he said, "Do not carry sandals." And I shared with you how sandals speak of walking in peace with all people. And he said, "Do not greet anyone on the way," twofold meaning that you will get delayed and you can lose your focus, and how important it is to stay focused. And all of this finally culminated in Jesus saying to them, "When you enter a specific house, stay in that house. Let your peace come upon that house." And it says, "If a son of peace is there, then your peace will rest upon it. and it will not return to you. And it says, remain in the same house, eating, drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. So in the context of the house that you remain in, there is divine provision to sustain you in your life. The house now is called a household of faith. The son of peace is the father of the household, who delivers food, which is called doctrine. And as you live by that doctrine, the provisions that you need for your purpose, divine purpose in life, will be met. This is the divine provision of God. So people need to understand that God provides divinely for you by how you remain connected to the house and remain connected to the Son of Peace in the house. Many people do not understand this because the ecclesiology, the church, the ecclesiology, the way the church is put together, is it does not come from Christology, it comes from theology. If you receive your ecclesiology from theology, you will have a messed up view of the church. But if you receive your ecclesiology from Christology, meaning the centrality of the entire house is the building patterns of Christ, then you allowing oil to flow from the head, grace to flow from the head to the body, and in this way, there is divine provision that is able to sustain you when you stay in the house. Listen, every house has problems. Every family has problems. Every household will not meet your expectations because we have all our different views of church. But you've got to ask yourself, in terms of divine provision, am I getting what I need to fulfill my mandate? Am I getting the food and the drink that I need to sustain me in the most challenging times of my life? And is it encouraging me? Is it blazing a path for me to fulfill my destiny? If that's what the house is doing for you, stay in that house. Stay connected to the Son of Peace in that house. Don't connect to a house because of what it looks like and what and the feel that you get because it looks like it's relevant to the world and it looks like everyone is popular, etc. No, it's about what the house can feed you to accomplish the mission that God has sent you on. You need to keep that at the back of your mind when you stay connected to a church. And in that way, you're receiving divine provision from God to fulfill your mandate. Now, I want to go to Joshua chapter 3, verse number 2, and verse 2 to verse number 3. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. Now, yes, historically, you have to understand that the Israelites are camped now and they are ready to cross over. So they are camped at the Jordan and they want to cross over into the promised land. So this is the land that we described for you a few weeks ago. But there are prerequisites. The first one is you must leave a place of fatherlessness. Secondly, there are things you must not carry. Thirdly, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Go after it. So if you want divine provision to be something that you experience daily in your life, one of the things you need to do is to pursue the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant is a representation of the presence, the divine Shekinah glory of God. Now, yes, yeah, let me do the first thing. The first aspect is, it says, you shall set out from your place and go after it. The word go after simply means you must not become complacent, but you must walk, you must be conversant, you must do it continually, you must seize the moment. So in the context of the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, you have to learn how to pursue God. Now, I grew up in the charismatic Pentecostal era as a 15-year-old boy. And I experienced the advent of the charismatic season with signs, wonders, and also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and experienced the manifest presence of God. And many people who are in my age category and maybe older than I will know what I am talking about. And the presence of God was real. And people, when they were in church, they would wait for that moment where the manifest presence of God would be tangible in the house of God. This would be where you would have a sense of feeling, even on your physical body. You will have hot tears rolling down your cheeks. You will have people that would sometimes prostrate themselves before the Lord, etc. All kinds of a sense of the presence of God. And it brought reverential fear into the house of God because of the manifest presence of God. Here's the question you need to ask yourself. In a time like this, where there's a pandemic, and you cannot be in the fellowship, you cannot be in the household where there can be a crafting of that kind of environment for the presence of God to be there, with a music team, with singing, with fellowship, with the lifting of your hands, where your focus is totally on the Lord. Every distraction is aside from you. Your eyes are closed. You sing the songs. You listen to the words. You process the words in your spirit, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sometimes there's prophetic utterances. Sometimes there's the song of the Lord. And all of us have experienced that on many occasions. But all that is sort of shut down. You are now in a lockdown. You're not in that environment. Here's the question you need to ask yourself. Are you still pursuing the presence of God without all that stuff that we are used to? That's a very important question to ask yourself. And not just because you want to have a sense of the tangible presence of God, but it's because you want to know that God is walking with you, and that God is in your midst, and that God is with you. So here's the shift. It is not just about the feeling and the emotion. The shift is this, that I want to be conversant with God. I want to walk with God in the cool of the day. I want to learn like Enoch and like Noah, how they walked with God, how Moses could be called, or Abraham could be called, the friend of God, how God would talk to Moses face to face as a man talks to one another. Now, as we grow in our relationship with God, our Father, we need to begin to see what God is emphasizing to us with regards to his manifest presence, because his manifest presence is definitely connected to divine provision. So here, the emphasis from the commanders to the people is, when you see the Ark of the Covenant going across the Jordan, and you see the Levites and the priests carrying it, the emphasis from the commanders was, you must pursue it. You must go after it. Because it means that you are now ready to cross over and God is about to do something. So we must not become complacent in pursuing the presence of God. Complacency will always result in some unnecessary problems in your life. Remember, when David was at a place of great satisfaction in his life, he stood on his balcony in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and even though the Bible says it was a time when kings would go to battle, David sent Joab and his servants and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Amnon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. That means he became complacent. And while he was there, the result was Bathsheba. The result was the birthing of a son who later died. The result was the murder of Uriah. So many things that began to take place because David lost this thirst for pursuing. So we need to learn not to become complacent, even now that you are at home, that you cannot be together, that we cannot fellowship. Craft an environment in your home. If it means putting on a few songs, singing, lifting up your hands, worshiping, praising the Lord, craft an environment for pursuing the presence of God. Okay? Now, when you think about the Ark of the Covenant, this is what they were told to pursue. This is what they were told to go after. Hebrews 9, verse 4 to 5, Paul is describing the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm saying that Paul is the writer to the Hebrews. There's enough evidence regarding that. In Hebrews 9, verse 4, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which the golden pot had the manner Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak in detail. Now, he's giving a brief description of the Ark of the Covenant, and all of that is relevant to us because the Ark of the Covenant is now within us in the form of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. So the gold speaks of its divine nature. The manner speaks of the proceeding word of God. Aaron's rod speaks of the authority and the fruitfulness, because remember, Aaron's rod budded, flowered, and bore fruit. The tablets of stone speak of the commandments of God that must now be on our heart and our mind. The cherubim of glory speaks of the manifest presence of God. And the mercy seat speaks of the mercy that God showed us by allowing his son to die upon the cross. And we should be merciful just as he was merciful. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, which is the manifest presence of God, when we pursue it with all these characteristics that I described for you, you will see that it will result in prosperity, because the Ark of the Covenant, who is the Holy Spirit, is now with you. And it means that God is with you. Just tell your neighbor, God is with me. And despite how low you feel, despite some of the things you probably heard this morning when you woke up or you looked at your WhatsApp messages, despite the overwhelming challenges that many people are facing, I reiterate to you as a servant of the Lord is with you. He will stand with you. Even though you go through the fire, you pass through the water, he is clear that he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Why? Because his Ark of the Covenant is with you. And when God is with you, you prosper. Because divine providence comes from the God that is within you. Joseph prospered because God was with him. Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph. What you must do is, just above Joseph's name, put your name there. And read it like this. The Lord was with Vinod. Or the Lord was with Shakila. That's how you got to read it. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. You see, the divine presence of God automatically activates the divine providence of God. When you pursue the presence of God, the Lord is with you. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So I'll read it like this. The Lord was with Vinod. He was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master called the Regal Inn. For those of you that are wondering, that's where Vinod works. He works for the Regal Inn. That's how you got to read the scripture. You got to make it come alive to you. And you have to remind yourself that the divine presence of God must activate the divine providence of God. And his presence is connected to prosperity because he is with you. The problem is many of us believe that God lives somewhere else and we live here, and from time to time he visits us. No, no, it's not like that, my friend. God is present with you 24 hours a day, and this is why you're missing out on divine providence, because you're not tapping into that presence that is with you all the time. So when you read a verse in that context, listen to verse 3 now. And his master, that's Vinod's boss. I don't know what his name is. Let's say his name is Reuben for now. And his master, Reuben, saw that the Lord was with Vinod. And the Lord made all that Vinod did prosper in Reuben's hand. Read it like that. So your master and his business and whoever you're working for is prospering, not just because of good economies and because you got good clientele and because you got a good marketing strategy and because you got good social media presence. No, it's because there's someone there who has the presence of God in their life. And I'm telling you, the time is coming where the master is going to see that the Lord is with you. And he will realize that all that I have is prospering because of you. This is what the presence of God does in terms of divine provision. The presence of God is not just about overt feelings and emotions. While that is necessary for encouragement and upliftment, and it is necessary to remind us from time to time that the Lord is with us, it doesn't mean that if you don't feel that, that he's not there. No. God is with you, my friend. And because he is with you, you will prosper. Hezekiah prospered because God was with him. 2 Kings 18 verse 7. The Lord was with him and he prospered wherever he went. That means you could put Hezekiah in any environment and you will prosper. David prospered because God was with him. 2 Samuel 5:10. And David went out and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Obed-Edom prospered because the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, was in his house. 2 Samuel 6 verse 11, the Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And in that 3 months, the Bible says, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. You're getting a key this morning. It's called learning how to tap into the presence of God that is already in you. It's already provided. It is already provided. You have to learn how to walk with God. You have to learn how to be conversant with God. You have to learn how to build this relationship with God as your Father, is the Father of your spirit. And while we work in the systems of this world, we work in Egypt, we work in Babylon, while we in these systems that are very oppressive, that are very domineering, that have a slave-like mentality, you have to realize that you are different from this world. In that, the Ark of the Covenant is in you. And let me tell you something. When the Ark of the Covenant was with Israel, the nations feared Israel. They even tried to capture the ark. As you know, the Philistines tried to hijack it, capture the ark. They tried to take hold of it. And the moment the Ark of the Covenant came into their presence, everyone got sick. And they realized that this is not something you mess with. So you are carrying the Ark of the Covenant inside of you, but you have to pursue the presence of God. You have to learn how to walk in relationship with God. You have to learn how to grow in your conversations with God. You have to outgrow the feeling to embrace the function. You have to outgrow just wanting the expressions of things in a more external way and start developing an internal unction inside of you where you can grasp what the Lord is doing and what the Lord is saying to you. Now, in Joshua chapter 3, verse number 6, then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now, remember that initially the nation of Israel was called a kingdom of priests. Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And I've shared this verse on many occasions with you. You are now the royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are the holy nation. We are his own special people. So once what was just for the nation of Israel as the elect of God is now for us who are in Christ also as the elect of God. And only the priests were allowed to carry on their shoulders, were allowed to carry the Ark of the Covenant. So remember, there's something that you do not carry, which is what I shared last week. Do not carry a knapsack. Do not carry a money bag. Do not carry your sandals. Do not greet anyone along the way. This is what you do not carry. But there's something that you carry. And what you carry is the Ark of the Covenant. Because you are a priest. You are a royal priest. You are a kingly priest. You are the special treasure. So your lives must be structured in a way where you carry. And the word carry is a very important word because it's not carry as we know it, to carry something. But it's the word carry means to contain or to hold or to have within. That's very powerful. So you are the vessel that is not carrying something outside, but you are carrying something inside. You are the container, or you have within, or you hold within you as the vessel. Now, what you carry is so vital because you are a carrier of the Spirit of the living God, the presence of the living God, the anointing that is within you. You are that vessel that is that container. You are the stone jar where the water has been turned into wine and it is now inside of you. Now, God is restoring the tabernacle of David. And I'm just going to introduce this a little bit and continue with it next week because time will not allow me to finish it this morning. God is restoring the tabernacle of David. This is not the literal tabernacle, but the tabernacle of David's life. And there's a reason I'm just highlighting this. Acts 15, verse 13 to 17 will tell you that. Now, as the tabernacle of David is being rebuilt, remember that in David's tabernacle, there was only one piece of furniture. And the one piece of furniture in David's tabernacle, which is in 2 Samuel chapter 6, is the Ark of the Covenant. Just one piece of furniture in the tabernacle of David. So he just had a tent, and it was in Zion, and we covered all of that when we did our Bible study on Zion principles. And in that tent was just the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. David had a priority when he came into kingship. His priority was to bring back the Ark of the Covenant because he knew that his success as a king was dependent on having the Ark of the Covenant in his life. Now, when you look at David's life, and remember that in Zion, there was just the Ark of the Covenant. That's the Ark of the Covenant that is now in us in the form of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. So you are carrying the Spirit of God. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That means it came upon him and rested upon him. In last week's Bible study, we covered how the Spirit comes upon us and rests upon us. So David was anointed and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Now we have the Spirit within us, as I've already emphasized. That's why in John 14, 17, the Spirit of truth which the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So as containers, we are now carrying the Spirit of God. But what is the outworking of that? That means I can say that the Spirit of God is inside of me. I can say that I'm a container of the Spirit. I can say that the presence of God is with me. But the outworking of that shows in different aspects of our life. So it shows what you will carry. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 18. Then one of the servants, now remember, the Spirit of God is now upon David, and it is resting upon him. The Spirit of God is in us. It's resting inside of us. This is the dwelling place of the Spirit. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen." Now, the servant is saying, "Look, I have seen." When the Spirit comes and lives in us, we are the containers. Others can look and see. They can identify. They can make an assumption about you because you are a container of the Spirit. Okay? Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen." What does he see? Firstly, he sees, "I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite." So when the Spirit of God comes and lives in us, we are the containers of his Spirit. What do other people see? Firstly, they see sonship in you. They can see that you are the son of Jesse. So David was the son of Jesse, and David was recognized as the son of Jesse. Now Jesse was his biological father, and Jesse had a great influence on David's life because he taught him many things and he had great influence over him as his younger son. You need to understand in your life, there is also a father that God places in your life. And the word Jesse means a father that stands out or a father that sets standards. And when the Spirit of God is inside of you, you can identify spirit to spirit with a Jesse in your life. And that Jesse gives you doctrine by which you live. So, the container of spirit has spirit-to-spirit connections with a spiritual father that brings doctrine into your life. That's why I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. The word Bethlehemite means the house of bread, but more importantly, the one who has become the bread that is given in the house. Bethlehemite. You become the very thing you receive. So it is Jesse, a father in the faith, that gives you doctrine. So you must carry the doctrine of your father. Listen to 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15. For though you have many 10,000 instructors, and right now YouTube is your instructor. Facebook is your instructor. Hundreds of websites are your instructor. because all of us are viewing different material. WhatsApp is your instructor. Everyone is sending you videos, messages, or links. I mean, you get bombarded with all kinds of things. So you got 10,000 instructors, and by all means, listen to the 10,000 videos if you have the time. But you do not have many fathers. For in Christ, Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, for in Christ, I have begotten you through the gospel. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, Paul is reminding his son in the faith, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. That means, listen to the doctrine of your father. In faith, in love, which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, keep. Listen to this verse. Keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That's a very powerful verse. So the thing that will allow you to keep the doctrine that you receive from one that God has placed in your life by a spirit-to-spirit connection is the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Divine providence comes through the Word and the Spirit. And when you receive spirit-to-spirit connections with a father, a Jesse in your life, one, the role of that Jesse is to make you a Bethlehemite. You know what that means? Is to make you a house of bread. You are now the house of God. Bread is the word of God. Is to make you someone in which the word dwells in. That's the role of a Jesse. Why is that so important? Because it's dependent on how the Spirit rests and dwells in us. So, what you need to carry, one, the Spirit of God. Two, carry the doctrine of your Father in your spirit. It's divine providence from God. I listen to Dr. Segi's messages. Every week when he puts it up, I make sure I listen to it. I read his books. I study his documents because Dr. Segi is my father. While I listen to many other speakers, I have videos, I go on conferences online from time to time, etc., etc. These are all instructors in the faith. These are people that have much to give me and much that I can grow from. But I have one father. And his doctrine is in my spirit so that I can become a house of bread. I can carry bread for others. Remember, the object of divine providence is to make you one who would become a divine provider. The Word and the Spirit will make you one that can provide for another. But you need the doctrine to be in you. And it is in the Spirit who dwells in you, as Paul wrote to his son and told him. It is the Spirit that dwells in you that will help you to process the doctrine that you are receiving. I trust that you have been blessed this morning as you have heard the word and that you have been encouraged. Take time to listen to these messages again whenever you have a chance. They are available on our YouTube channel, as also available on our app. The Lord bless and keep you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning. Amen.